Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's that show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Josh Fennett. And each week we take a closer look at a story that we think deserves just a little bit more attention. Going contactless has taken on a few different meanings of late, especially in light of the COVID-19 crisis. Monocle's James Chambers takes a look into the world of automation, robotics and technology. He spent the day at Hong Kong's largest technology cluster, where product designers and engineers are coming up with smart ways of staying safe and enjoying a sudden wave of popularity thanks to social distancing too. Take it away, James.
As people around the world emerge from lockdowns and begin to take their first tentative steps outside of their safety bubbles, there's going to be far greater awareness of the number of things we have to touch in our everyday lives. Some of them desirable, some unavoidable, and plenty that are completely unnecessary. Many consumers will be looking for a cleaner and more contactless life that stretches beyond waving credit cards to pay for lunch, and designers working across multiple disciplines will be challenged to come up with creative solutions to our very tactile environment. Some of these problems are already being tackled in Hong Kong, where the SARS epidemic hit in 2003 and transformed the way this city views personal health and hygiene. Science Park in Hong Kong is an innovation and technology campus full of gleaming glass buildings, glistening lakes, and wide open streets where you half expect the car in front to be driverless. It's the type of place where robots serve you ice cream and retailers are testing convenience store layouts where customers can pay with their own face. In other words, it's a vision of the near future and an island of cleanliness compared to the clutter and crowds of downtown Hong Kong. My first appointment at Science Park was with two university students, Michael Lee and Simon Wong. A pair of budding engineers, Michael and Simon invented a self-sanitizing door handle when they were teenagers, and their company Titanology is currently fielding inquiries about their patented technology from all over the world. Here's Simon describing, in the simplest way possible, how the technology works.
We found out that there is a material called photocatalyst, and then we apply the photocatalyst to make a nano coating on the glass handle surface. This material will be able to self-sanitize after absorbing the UV light source. So we apply a UV light source at the end of the glass handle, and we ultimately made the self-sanitizing door handle.
Their design has already been proved to be effective against influenza viruses like H1N1, but Lee and Wong are waiting to test for COVID-19, an absolute necessity now after President Donald Trump grouped UV light together in the same list of ridiculous COVID-19 miracle virus cures as drinking disinfectant. It was the SARS epidemic back in 2003 that initially prompted them to work in the area of hygiene. But the inspiration for their first product came from watching germophobic Hong Kongers use paper tissues to open public door handles. Last year, their self-sanitizing door handle came runner-up in the UK's James Dyson Awards, an international student design award. It lost out to a British-made invention for reducing single-use plastic. If the competition was rerun this year, I imagine the young men may have taken top prize. But right now, the R&D arm of Titanology is branching out into self-sanitizing door locks, touchscreens, and shopping trolleys. And an injection of outside capital in January is funding a factory in Hong Kong, as Michael explains here.
The investor is doing their properties and also have other trading business. He saw our product potential in January, so they want to help us scale up our production or many product purpose. So and our investor give a lot of money to us to speed up our business.
Several floors below them, fellow new arrivals, Rice Robotics, are settling in and calibrating their flagship product to its new surroundings. Rice, a consumer robot, that really does resemble a nicely designed rice cooker on wheels, presently occupies the lobby of the Robotics Catalyzing Center. During the pandemic, any food deliveries must be placed in a compartment inside of Rice's head, and the wee little robot then zips off to complete the last meters of the delivery, communicating with the security barriers and the lift doors autonomously before texting the hungry techie waiting at the other end a code to open the hood. Rice Robotics is running it as a test case for hospitals, apartment blocks, and the hospitality sector. And already a few hotels in Hong Kong have employed several Rice robots on a subscription basis to deliver room service to guests and cut down on human contact. CEO and founder Victor Lee is a product designer by trade, making Rice a rare example of a robotics company led by a designer rather than an engineer. He decided to start his own robotics company after a trip to San Francisco.
I went to Berkeley. So 2 years ago, I went back to Berkeley and then walked on the streets. I saw there's a delivery robot and they're actually working outdoor, picking up foods from a restaurant, and the robot just off and go. That was a blink moment to me, because I think robotics is the future, right? And we started seeing real things in the street. It's just 2 years ago. And after that, I started to think about how we can bring this product to Asia. In Asia, there's a lot of government regulations to regulate the droids and drones to operate outdoor. So obviously, it's not possible for robots to have an outdoor robot to operate. So we started to think, how can we bring this model to Asia? And in Asia, there's a lot of high-rise buildings, tall buildings, and how to get the robots to deliver in the vertical way is the most important thing. So we think making an indoor robot is super suitable in Asia.
I myself have actually stayed in a hotel in Singapore that has been using similar dustbin-sized room service robots for several years. It's certainly a novel way of ringing down for extra tea bags, but don't expect a droid to show up at the door with an iron and an ironing board. As Victor explains, the size of these robots and their cute human-style interfaces are deliberate.
The reason why we try to design a robot in a very small dimension is that we don't want the robot to intimidate people. And making the robot small, it looks friendly.
There is, of course, a darker and largely invisible side to all of this automated and contactless technology. And one company that I didn't have a chance to visit at Science Park is SenseTime. It's one of Hong Kong's technology unicorns and a huge success story for homegrown innovation. SenseTime's world-leading artificial intelligence and facial recognition technology is being used for creating digital currencies and potentially freeing us from the scourge of handling actual dirty money. But all of these positive applications have been largely offset by its negative association with surveillance in mainland China. The United States placed SenseTime on its blacklist last year because its technology is allegedly being used as part of the human rights abuses in Xinjiang. It's a scary thought, and one that has suddenly come a lot closer to home, as the technology and data being used right now to track down and trace COVID-19 cases could easily come back in the future and cause us harm in Hong Kong and anywhere else around the world. Something for me to mull over on a 30-minute ride back to the office, right after I've booked an Uber on my touchscreen phone, touched the handle on the Tesla, and washed my hands with antibacterial gel while sitting on the back seat. For Monocle in Hong Kong, I'm James Chambers.
Many thanks to our Hong Kong Bureau Chief James Chambers there. He's the same fine fellow who's co-hosted this week's Hong Kong-themed episode of our full-length design programme that aired on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and the show airs every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You can also download it or subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Do also seek out a subscription to Monocle magazine, especially if you can't get to newsstands. Head to monocle.com for more of that. Today's episode was edited and produced by May Lee Evans. I'm Josh Fennett. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.